Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by the Growth Platform Framework. B2B FinTech startups accelerate customer acquisition and set up business operations to scale systematically. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@ipractitioners.com. Now, over to the show with Richard Dosey, founder and host. Hey, what's up, everyone? Today on the show, we have Nelson De Silva, CRO at Capitalize.com. Hey, Nelson, great to have you on the show. How's everything going today?
Hi, thanks for having me, Richard. No, it's all good. Thank you. It is a sunny day in London, so whenever the sun shines in London, it's always a good day.
Yeah, I hear you there. But hey, man, let's kick off the show with maybe telling us a bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, from the accent you can hear, I'm not English, but have been in London for over 25 years now, and then been involved in quite a few businesses in that period of time in the UK. I actually arrived in the UK to kick off a South African franchise that we were looking at international expansion. So that's how I landed on the shores and, you know, stayed on for the next 20 odd years. So yeah, I mean, in my background, it's really been, I've been involved in quite a few businesses where people have looked to grow their businesses. I just happened to run into them, have a conversation, and, you know, like they say, one thing leads to another. And before I know it, I'm working alongside them and supporting them and helping them build their businesses and grow their businesses. So it's been, I suppose, the only way to describe my career to date is helping people grow their businesses, really.
Oh, awesome. And listen, obviously, you're CRO at Capitalize.com.
Yep.
Can you give us a bit of background as to, you know, the business, what you guys are doing right now?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, I suppose the best way to describe Capitalize, it's very much more a what we refer to as a capital advisory platform. So it's looking at small businesses, the capital that's in the small businesses, and see how we can help them and support them in terms of, you know, growth. And in particularly with the current situation we're in with COVID and everything, it's how do we actually help them survive and also bounce back in terms of, you know, getting back into growth mode in terms of businesses. And when we refer to as capital, we refer mostly, hugely, quite a big proportion of what we do is funding, so debt funding. So we're aggregator of debt funding. So we've got a number of lenders, over 100 lenders on our platform, from everything from unsecured lending to secured lending, everything from working, you know, term loans to commercial mortgages, bridging finance, and everything in between that. We've got access to all these lenders, and it's almost like matching requirements, SMBs requirements, funding requirements with an appropriate vehicle, an appropriate and relevant lender. When we speak about capital, that's one part of it. That's that funding capital. There's also other capital within the businesses. So things like recovering cash back into the business. So this is where SMB businesses have written off some bad debt, customers haven't paid them in the past, you know, as far back as 3 years. We can actually help them recover that cash back into the business with like a no win, no fee type of approach. You know, that's one way of getting capital back into the business. We also look at things like R&D tax grants, and that again is very much facilitating that. But all of these things in terms of capital, and there's more, there's grants, there's capital allowances, all of these different ways of getting capital back into a business or raising, protecting or supporting that capital. But what we do with all of that is, you know, we facilitate that. But I think when we look at Capitalize as a capital advisory platform, it's very much how we discover those opportunities within accountants' clients' portfolio. Because what I haven't mentioned in everything that I've rattled off at the moment is that actually our customers are accounting firms. Although our service is predominant, it is for SMB in terms of, you know, the capital we can facilitate. It's very much more through the accounting firms that are our customers. So what we have in terms of Capitalize advisory platform is very much a monitoring and discovering the opportunities that exist for accountants' portfolio of clients, of how they can access, what funding they could access, if they could access funding, if they could get better rates in terms of the existing funding that they have in place. We can look at if they've got debt recovery opportunities there as well. We can also identify R&D opportunities as well and other opportunities based on the clients added onto our monitor platform.
That was a really good background. And, you know, where you guys operate, you know, are you predominantly a UK-based yes. company or is it...
So exactly that. So it's a UK company that's been going for just over 4 or 5 years now. The UK market is our current market. And like I said, our customers are actually accounting firms. We partner in terms of the, you know, our accounting firms subscribe to our platform. So we've got accounting firms from, you know, the top 50 firms in the country, top 100 firms in the country, to, you know, a small proprietor firm with, you know, 50 or so clients and everything in between that. So, but it's predominantly UK at the moment.
Well, and I mean, maybe if you take it back a bit, I mean, you've been in the market now for 5 years, but, you know, how did you guys come into the market? How did you approach
So I only joined Capitalize, it will be 12 months, I think, next week. So I've only been with Capitalize a year now. And you know, I joined them because I saw that there was, you know, there was an opportunity. What Capitalize as a company, what they, you know, what we're doing is very much disrupting the space. As you can imagine, a lot of the space that we occupy at the moment in terms of, you know, the lending, brokerage, R&D, a lot of these things are still very, you know, old school, if I can put it that way. Not so, you know, tech involved, but not so much tech, more manual than tech. So, you know, in terms of what Capitalize is doing is disrupting that place. So, you know, that was one of the reasons I joined. And the two founders, both Ollie Maitland and Paul Surtees, I think they were looking at this as an opportunity in terms of, you know, their different backgrounds. Ollie Maitland, maybe from his perspective of, you know, trying to grow an existing business. And, you know, one way of doing that is with debt funding. And then Paul Surtees with his Goldman Sachs background is very much in, you know, in that world of, you know, the lending world. They, you know, they saw the opportunity that there was an opportunity to become an aggregator and to almost in a sense match, you know, the requirements from SMBs in terms of, you know, their funding needs to, you know, this whole big marketplace that exists there with everything from your tier one lenders, your usual, you know, high street banks to, you know, all the alternative lenders that have come into the market and focusing on specific vehicles or funding opportunities like, you know, invoice financing, asset finance, you know, people specializing in certain areas of lending. So I think it was the opportunity that existed. And I think that's what, you know, Ollie Maitland and Paul Surtees, you know, actually identified and built out the platform. And since then, it's evolved. You know, it started very much like most of these fintech businesses start, which is, you know, direct, going directly to the SMBs. But what Capitalize identified quite early on was that if they worked with accounting firms, it was a better route for what we wanted to do, and it fitted with the vision and the values of Capitalize.
I guess that's maybe part of the scaling strategy. I mean, you've been on the ground now for 12 months, and obviously there's sort of runway to go forward and move on and scale up over the next 12 and 24 months. What strategies are you using to scale, and, you know, sort of how are you looking to approach that?
In terms of scaling, I mean, scaling is actually, I'm going to use the word easy. It's not easy to scale, but it's easier to scale a business if you keep it simple. And I suppose, you know, that's, you know, if we look at my philosophy and my methodology of playing this game, because to me, this is very much like a sport, is very much about, you know, keeping it simple, making sure you have the foundations in place, and then, you know, scaling on top of that. So if we look at Capitalize, what we have is actually quite a simple and, you know, quite a straightforward offering or proposition. You know, we know that most businesses, you know, pre-COVID aside, you know, most businesses were looking to either bring capital into the business because they've got to pay the bills, or bring capital into the business because they're looking to grow. And, you know, in terms of if we keep it simple and just focus on the capital requirements of a business, like I mentioned, you know, the funding, you know, the protection of the cash in the business, the recovery of the cash into the business, raising the cash into the business. If we just focus on that, it's quite a simple proposition. And if we help our partners, which are the accounting firms, to be able to have not only have the ability to offer these type of services to their clients, but help them in how they go about doing that, helping them with, you know, the learning about these different, and just, it's not teaching them how these things work, but it's almost like helping and augmenting their understanding of it, so that, you know, accountants become very much more, our partners become very much more, what's the word I'm looking for, reassured in terms of their knowledge of what they, of these types of services that they can offer their clients, and then facilitating that. So one thing we have experienced in this space, in the accounting sector that I've been in, I think now just over 7 or 8 years, is that whenever you have a conversation with your accountant, it gets to a certain point where the accountant will actually facilitate an introduction to a third party. Mm. So, you know, funding is one of those situations where, you know, you could be sitting with your accountant speaking about, you know, that's great, all of this looks great, your management accounts, you know, your forecasts. And it comes to a point where, you know, we probably need to look at how we fill this gap in terms of, you know, the cash requirements in order for us to do X, Y, and Z. And normally how that conversation would progress from there would be your accountant would say, well, you know, go see your bank manager, or go speak to so-and-so I know who can possibly help you with that. What we're doing is facilitating the continuation of that conversation, which then makes sure that the accountant still is in control of the relationship. Mm. Because, I mean, you know, the world we live in, it's very much about the client experience. And the worst client experience is when you've got a challenge and that challenge gets signposted somewhere else rather than you, the service that you've entrusted with that conversation, trying to help you with it. So yeah, it's very much about, you know, at the center of what we do, the strategy that we have is very much about the client experience, which is the SMB. And then how can we help our partners, as we refer to them, the accounting firms, how can we help them deliver, you know, that an excellent client experience for their SMB clients? Because we know it's a win-win. If they can do that, we can help them do that, and they subscribe to our service. You know, it's a win throughout that whole process. It's a win for us, it's a win for the accountant, it's definitely a win for the client.
Yeah, I love what you're saying there. And just to, you know, to reiterate that or to summarize it, I think maybe 2 points. One is have an easy offering that everyone understands, not just you internally, but the market. And the other is equip partners to understand your offering and making certain that they can go out and deliver that offering to the market.
Feel confident doing so. I think it's that level of depth that you've got to go to. It can't be very, you know, a lot of people, especially in B2B, it's always the challenge when you come to be, you know, B2B, be it SaaS or, you know, however you want to, whatever tag you want to put on it. B2B has always been a challenge because you almost require the person that you're selling to actually resell your services in a sense. And what you find is most times the people that you are selling your service to, you know, they experts at what they're doing, not experts at what you're doing. So it always becomes like a little bit of a mismatch. And what a lot of people do is they play lip service to, you know, education, however you want to term it, education, training, in terms of a B2B space. But one thing, I both at Capitalize and other businesses that I've been involved in, there has to be depth to it. So it's just not about, you know, giving them the cheat sheet they can use, but it's like how to actually educate them on the subject. How to educate them. For example, we run an advisory on demand online as part of the subscription, which goes into in depth about, you know, all the different types of funding. And, you know, there's case studies there, there's quizzes, you know, so it's very much more a CPD accredited as well. So it's very much an in-depth approach to it.
You know, let's stick on that for a second, because it is a very interesting way that you're approaching your partners. I mean, do these partners have to go through a training pack or a training session to get up to speed as to what you guys offer, how it's delivered, and maybe at a point in time recite that back to someone in Capitalize so that they do have that understanding, that you guys are confident that they, you know, understand the value you bring to market?
Yeah, correct. I mean, one of the, I'll answer that in a way, giving a little bit more context on that. So one of the very first things I do, and, you know, most businesses I'm sure out there do, is map out what the customer journey looks like, or what we theoretically think it's going to look like. And 9 out of 10 times, most of the time, it's just theory because, you haven't been in business for 5, 10 years. So you have no idea what the customer journey is going to be over a period of 5 or 10 years. But, you know, you make your best guesstimate at what it is. And if you can actually map out what your client experience or your customer experience journey will look like from the point of like engaging with them, you know, into 5 years into the future, and you identify the key stages of that journey that need to happen in order for that journey to actually to become a reality, then what you can do is just focus your team, focus your systems around those key areas. And in terms of our partners, once they've subscribed to the service, when on that customer journey with us, you know, they've got to go through an onboarding stage, they've got to go through a foundation stage, and basically what our partner success or customer success team are doing is helping them going through all these different stages of their journey. And as part of those stages of their journey, there's specific requirements we think they need, and help them reach, you know, their desired outcome, because we build out success plans with all our partners at the start of the journey. And for us to help them succeed in that journey, we know there's certain things they need to achieve over these, you know, different stages. So training, for example, or education is a key factor in them graduating from one stage to the next. But in so doing, that, and I mean, education's, like I said, is one key piece of the puzzle, let me put it that way. But in them actually being able to do so means that the likelihood of success increases every time we do that. And the partner journey or the customer journey, as we think it looks, and as, you know, they've agreed that's the journey they want to go on, you know, turns from theory to reality.
Obviously, during the process, just to stay on the point, you must get certain metrics out of it to see exactly where people,
Correct.
People are failing, where people are succeeding.
Correct. So we term it a customer health score. So we've got different variables that we have identified as, you know, indicators on how well a partner is progressing on the customer journey. And there's, you know, I think we use 8 metrics that identify, one of them being, you know, the education, how many of their team actually go through online education, how many of their team go through our live training session, our live lunch and learn sessions. All of these variables contribute to what we call the customer health score. And that way we can monitor, you know, the accounts that are on course and those accounts that aren't on course. And then what we can do is, you know, intervene in those that we think need intervention in order to, you know, get them back on track. And that's really, you know, crux of our partner success is very much, you know, agreeing what success, you know, with the partner, what success looks like for them, what their desired outcome is, and then helping them get there, really. And yeah, we've got all these different metrics that we use in order to identify if they're on track or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some great insight there. And, you know, obviously, as you go through that journey, my assumption is you want to make certain you give value to your partners and clients on day one. I assume this is part and parcel of the process to get there. Are there elements you look at? So, you know, accounting firm X signs on the dotted line, you know, on day one, they need to be a happy customer. Well, what are the things? What are the things that you look at to make certain that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of what we do is a change. And with change, you know, change management comes into play. So you have to almost go through all the different stages in a change management when you introduce, you know, a new service, for example, or a new way of doing things, not just in accountancy sector, but in any sector. There's always going to be some pain because, you know, things need to be different to what they were, and, you know, people need to maybe come out of their comfort zone and have discussions. But in terms of what we do is we've put together a playbook, and we refer to it as a playbook of, you know, what are the things that will help them go through this process, you know, in the best way possible with the minimum interruption. So one of the big things we have at Capitalize is there is very little client onboarding, so end user onboarding. So from an accountant subscribing to our service, 9 out of 10 times, whenever they are doing that for, you know, a particular piece of technology that they're using with their clients, they've got to get the clients involved and they've got to get the clients onboarded on there. You know, that's always a, you know, a challenge and a pain point for accountants. Is not only do they have to get to grips with this new way of doing things, this new piece of technology or this new app, however you want to term it, but then they've also got to try and get their clients onto this platform or onto this app or using this app or contributing to, you know, make that a success. From Capitalize perspective, we've taken the approach that we will have as little, if no, involvement from the client in terms of having to onboard the client, end client, and putting that responsibility on our partners. So we will do, you know, most of the onboarding is done quite simply just connecting clients up to our monitor platform, which is part of the Capitalize Advisory platform. Within that, monitor sits at the heart of it. And that's basically just uploading clients and us doing, you know, the analysis that we can do on the back end, looking at, you know, what funding they have in place, what funding they may be access to, what capital allowances opportunities, R&D opportunities, recovery opportunities all sit in there for specific clients. And then we surface that up to the accountant in terms of, like, you know, these are possible opportunities for you to have conversations with your clients. So the magic of Capitalize, as I like to refer to it, is this discovery piece of getting insight into your clients even before you've even spoken to your clients, or even before they even know that they have, you know, that something exists that can help them in terms of their businesses, especially at this point in time.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. As you go through, I've obviously spoken quite in depth about sort of the client journey and your partners and clients' journey. Your CRO, I mean, one of the things I assume you're also having to do is, outside of, you know, the systems and making certain things, you know, glue together from a partner perspective and client perspective, is building those sort of deeper relationships with partners, clients, and also, you know, other people with inside that you're looking at winning new business or making certain that, you know, there's less churn. So how do you sort of approach that from a CRO perspective? How do you go with it one level down and go?
So a CRO is actually chief revenue officer, not the chief risk officer, which is part of the spectrum. Although revenue sits in my title, that's probably the last thing I focus on, because to me, revenue is just an output. So to your point, what I learned a long time ago and what I try and instill in just in every business, but everyone that I come in contact with, is we can only control the controllables, which are the inputs. So I spend my time just focusing on all the inputs. And one of the biggest inputs that we've got the most control of are people. So the people in the business, the people that are our customers, because, you know, although we talk about accounting firms, it's actually individuals. And those are the inputs we've got the most control of, should I say. But if I go one step further and say, you know, the biggest input that we've got the most control is individuals having control of their own input. So from an approach that I have in terms of making sure that the score takes care of itself. In other words, the revenue and the growth that goes with that becomes a reality and is deliverable, is just getting people to focus on their input. So individuals, how do we make our internal people the best that they can be? How can we make our accounting partners the best at delivering this type of service that they can be? Not as a, you know, yes, as a firm, but also as individuals. So it's very much having that type of focus and that type of philosophy. The way we go about delivering it is like, how can we make individuals the best that they can be? And if we just focus, you know, yes, you know, we focus on processes. Yes, I focus on systems and how can we make things more efficient and how can we scale in a more efficient way? How can we introduce new revenues into the business? All of those things do you know, they're on my desk, so to speak. But the main focus is always about, you know, the people both in the business and the people in, you know, in our partner businesses and the people in that we deal with in terms of our lenders, the people that we deal with in terms of, you know, the third parties that deliver, you know, so, or are part of delivering some of the services that we deliver. It's all about those people and how can we make them the best that they can be.
That's some great insight. And I mean, you've obviously used this method over the last, you know, 20 odd years or 25 years that you've been in the game. I mean, what have been, as you've sort of focused on the people, the inputs, what have been some of the ups and downs and the lessons learned by using that approach?
There's always been more ups than downs. I'm struggling to think of what the downs are. A good example of this is, I don't think people need to be managed. I think every business I've ever been involved in, I've recruited adults. And as I've recruited adults, I've expected them to be able to manage themselves. So I don't believe in the word, you know, managed. What I believe is in the word of, you know, it's our responsibility to help coach, mentor, and help people achieve, you know, their desired, you know, what they can achieve. And so I almost got like a formula that I keep in my head. And, you know, a lot of the people that I work probably, you know, they hear me speak about it is I've always gone out to look for talent. Once I identify this talent, then what I want from myself and what I expect from, you know, those people that lead, you know, for example, you know, I've got people who lead, you know, certain parts of the revenue team in Capitalize and had other leaders that worked alongside me across all the other businesses. You know, their responsibility is to coach and develop and mentor their team. That's what they're there to do. They're not there to manage them. They're there to coach them. My view has always been that that is what our roles are as leaders, is to be there and to do that. So I love the story that I always repeat is I once had a colleague that slacked me one day and said, "Oh, Nelson, I hear I'm going to report into you from now on. I'm really looking forward to it." And I said to him, "Oh, that's interesting. Yes, you are going to report into me for one day of the month. And that's the first day of the month, because that's the day I tell you what I need from you. The next 30 days of the month, I report into you because I need to make it possible and give you everything you need and all the support you need in order to deliver what I've just asked for." And that's almost very much, you know, the approach I've always had in, you know, in every business I've been involved in. And the reality about having that type of approach is, it's always brought me success. It's always brought me, you know, to your point about, you know, what has been the success of what have been the failures. I can't think of the failures because the failures only come in terms of, you know, when the equation I was referring to is if I get talented people, I can help them develop their skills and then I can help them master their skills, then achievements follow. So it's talent plus skills development plus mastery equals achievements is, you know, a mathematical equation I use. So if I can do that, those are the outputs. So even when there were failures, it wasn't because there was a failure, because these were talented people, because I believe everyone's got a talent. It's just maybe the skills that we're trying to develop are maybe not the skills that they want to develop, or it's maybe not the skills that they've got the aptitude to develop. Or once we've helped them develop the skills and, you know, put them on the road to mastering those skills, maybe they've mastered the skills to a certain level and can't step it up when they need to step it up into the next. And that's, to me, is when, you know, the word, is it failure? It's not really failure, but it's, to me, it's very much, those are the situations where it's not the individual, it's probably the business that we're in, it's maybe not the right business for them, or it's the role that they're in, maybe it's not the right role for them in that business. Because I've known a lot of people that, you know, have gone on into other businesses and proven to be very successful there, doing maybe a similar role, but it's a different type of business or a different approach to how we do things. So sorry, it's a long way of answering your question about successes and failures. But to me, they've all been successes. I can't remember failures having that approach or just focusing on making people the best that they can be. The other thing is always trying to make them the best that they can be, and not better than the person next to them. It's always about them being better. I've got a saying that I use a lot here at Capitalize, and I use that Receipt Bank as well. And a lot of people would probably recognize it. And it's always, you know, tomorrow we come back and we get to do it all over again, just a little bit better. That's a mantra that, you know, I picked up at Receipt Bank from the then CEO, Alexis Pren. And, you know, it's something that really resonates with me in terms of what we do. You know, every day we just come back, do it all over again, but we just do it a little bit better.
I love it. And I think coaching and helping and guiding teams is a key element of scaling any business. And
absolutely. You know, we started this conversation about me saying it's quite easy to scale a business, which sounds weird because it's never easy to do anything. What happens is if you keep it simple, it becomes easier. What happens is a lot of people try and overcomplicate it because they think they need to overcomplicate it. So everyone knows that, you know, developing people and coaching people works, but you also got to have a framework to do that. You can't be, you know, we've got a graduate program at Capitalize. We've got a very, you know, we've got the Capitalize way, which is very much, you know, the way we go about doing things. It's a document, almost like an operational manual. You know, you've got to have all of these things in place in order, you know, so that you can help coach people and you can help develop and mentor people, because you've got to have guidelines. You know, it's not just where people struggle is everyone knows they need to do it, except, you know, they don't have this guidance in place. That's one thing I would always recommend, which has always gone through my mind. Every business I've been involved in has been the thought of, if I was going to franchise this business, what do I need to put in place? And every business I've been involved in, I've, you know, there is something called the way there. You know, we had the Receipt Bank way, we now have the Capitalize way. And basically all it is almost like an operational manual, not my manual, but the company's manual, the individual's manual. So Capitalize way, the extent of my contribution to that has been structuring all the framework that I've provided in order for us to actually, you know, flesh out the Capitalize way. Because everything, every single document, everything we do, how we do it, all the processes, it's all individuals and groups of individuals and teams of individuals that have actually contributed to fleshing out that document. And it gets updated, you know, daily as processes change, things improve, better ways of doing things. But because we've got that guidance and we've got, you know, mastery calculators and we've got, you know, we've got process of, you know, reviews every 3 quarters, and it's not performance reviews, it's role reviews every quarter. You know, all of these things help with what everyone thinks, you know, it's logical. It's, you know, just coach your people, develop your people. And if you do that well, and you develop, coach and develop your customers, and you do that well, you know, the score takes care of itself. And it does. The issue is you've got to have some sort of guidance or guidelines in order to do that, rather than just the thought of it would be nice if we, you know, we actually do it, but no one can actually show me what they do. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Some really valuable insights. I'm going through something similar at one of my clients right now, which is, you know, focusing on the people. And it's important to put that framework in so people know how they can move through the organization if they need to move through the organization. Or likewise, if people are coming on, they know how they can, they know if they want to join the company. It's so important. It's sort of the fabric and the culture of the organization. Seems to be extremely important. But yeah, I mean, I guess it would also be interesting to understand. I mean, you guys, obviously, you've been around for 5 years. You've been in the role for 12 months. The pandemic is just still with us. What do you see happening in the next 12 months for Capitalize?
For Capitalize, it's how do we do what we're doing today? How do we do it again tomorrow, just a little bit better? It's probably the best answer I've got in that. What I personally feel in terms of what's happening is, just in general, there's almost a level of complacency coming into play. Wherever you look, there is almost like a level of complacency. It's also the same applies in, you know, in the space that we operate in. I had a conversation with one of our partners who I've got a high respect for all our partners, but this particular individual and, you know, the firm that, you know, he's built, you know, high respect for him. And I was having a conversation with him and his view was very interesting, which drives home that complacency is that as an accounting firm, we've even lost a single client since March, which to him is a red flag, meaning that this is unusual. It's never happened in our history that we haven't lost a single client for such a long period of time. So some complacency we see out there is people are seeing this effect. And the complacency that's coming into play is that, you know, we must be delivering a fabulous client experience because we haven't lost a single client. The reality is you haven't lost a single client because the client doesn't think this is the right time to move. So it's almost like the way he described it was excellent, which was, you know, just before a tsunami strikes, the sea, the tide actually goes out. If you were on the edge of the beach just before a tsunami was supposed to hit that beach, you'd see the sea actually just rolling all the way back out. And that's almost like the feeling they have in terms of like, we're watching the sea going out, just wondering if the tsunami wave is going to be a big one or just, you know, small little tsunamis, if there's such a thing as a small tsunami.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe, you know, a little tidal wave off Durban Beach or something.
Yeah, a little tidal wave, yeah. Yeah, but it's just that. So for us from Capitalize perspective, it's just making sure that we, you know, we're helping our partners, you know, do what they do best. You know, accountants are they're the second most trusted advisors after doctors. If you'd ask any individual, and surveys have been done, and, you know, individuals trust doctors much more than most professions. And, you know, normally in the second slot are accountants. So they sit in this, you know, very respected, held high in terms of people's perception. And accountants, they take the profession, you know, as seriously as most people take the profession, but you know, they care of duty, you know, a duty of care, however the phrase is, it's very prevalent in accounting, accountants' DNA. So if we can help them do this duty of care for their clients, to me that's a good strategy, and I suppose that's the strategy that, you know, Capitalize as a business is on.
I mean, as you guys, you know, sit in, strategize and think forward over the next year, maybe a bit longer, over the next 2 or 3 years, what questions are you starting to ask yourselves or factors are you considering as you sort of continue along the growth journey or the scale journey?
I suppose the way we view this is that, you know, now we're seeing an influx of capital requirement, which is debt, because of a lot of businesses are looking to how they can shore themselves in terms of, you know, at least having some cash there to try and, you know, weather out the storm or trade out of the storm. But in a sense, Capitalize will always be in a good place because, you know, during the pandemic, that tends to be the focus. So very much about, you know, raising cash, protecting cash, recovering cash takes a very important priority for any small business there and for accountants helping their, you know, their small business clients. You know, we're in a good position to help with that. Post-pandemic, people are going to be looking to, you know, not only bounce back, but to grow their businesses. There are going to be a lot of people that probably, you know, were made redundant, were furloughed, then made redundant, you know, that are probably looking to start their own businesses. So there'll be this appetite for, you know, capital to grow businesses, to start businesses. So in a way, it's a win-win for Capitalize, because in the times like now, raising capital, raising capital and protecting capital are all very relevant. But post-pandemic, they just as relevant, raising capital, protecting capital and recovering capital. So that's one of the big reasons, you know, I joined Capitalize, because, you know, that's the opportunity. There's an upside for what we do, because what we do is help accounting firms deliver a client experience that make sure that their clients get the success that they want or desire. And I think that's, as long as we keep focused on that and we keep focused on our partnerships with our partners and making sure that, you know, it is a true partnership. And yes, they pay us a subscription. The fact that they're paying us a subscription means, you know, there's a high desire, not only desire, but there's a high requirement for not only us making sure that we're demonstrating value every time they use our service, but also, you know, helping, you know, our partners ensure that, you know, they can hold us accountable as well as a supplier. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Complete sense, mate. Obviously, part of any journey in life and, you know, in careers is you've mentioned it, is learning, right? And speaking to lots of people and also myself, I tend to read and others tend to read a lot of different types of books or articles, listen to podcasts. Maybe I'll put you on the spot and ask, you know, what are you reading right now? What articles
right now I just finished a book called Radical Focus. Ask me who the author is. It's called Radical Focus. That's all I can remember. But, you know, that's very much more on the journey of OKRs. So that's something that, you know, I've always been a big advocate of. But to your point about, I am now 56 years old and every day I learn something new. To me, business has always been a sport. I know it sounds totally crazy referring to business as a sport, but I've always, to me, it's been, you know, I love sport. I've loved sport since, you know, a kid. I was always outside. If I wasn't kicking a ball, I was hitting a ball. And I played sports all my life. And to me, you know, business has always been a sport from, I think, you know, the age of 16, you know, with the first business I've ever got involved in. And because to me, that's what it is, I feel that one day I will leave this world and I'll still wouldn't know everything there is to know about the sport that I play. So I am a big consumer of everything around me in terms of, you know, business. I've never been one to read fiction books. I think the last fiction book I ever read was my set book at school, which, like I said, I'm 56 years old now, so it's a while back. And I don't think I've never read a fiction book since then. All the books I've read have been business books, from, you know, the books that really helped me shape my philosophy and methodology back in 1985, a book called E-Myth Revisited, Daniel Gerber. You know, there was one of the, you know, one of the first books I can recall that actually, you know, still today it sits in terms of, you know, my philosophy and methodology. The comment I made about if I was going to franchise this business, what do I need to put in place? Not that I've only franchised one business before. Every other business I've never franchised it, and, you know, we won't franchise Capitalize, but it's that thinking or that philosophy that you bring in. You know, that's all the way something I picked up in 1985 off a book called E-Myth Revisited. You know, things like, you know, The Score Takes Care of Itself. It's actually a title of a book, The Score Takes Care of Itself. But, you know, I've always been a big advocate of, you know, don't focus on the outputs, focus on the inputs, the output follows, and everything in between. I mean, I think I've just finished a couple of months ago was the new book from, oh gosh, I can't even think what the book's called now. You've really put me on the spot here. Thank your book titles, but yeah, I'm sure I'd think of it. Once I'm off this call, I'll remember exactly what the book is. But the Horowitz's Lost, you know, latest book. I'm forever reading books, forever reading articles. Yeah, it doesn't stop.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's a good way to learn. And listen, as we wrap up the show, I mean, how can people find and connect with you and Capitalize?
I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, so I'm sure there's quite a few Nelson De Silvers on LinkedIn, but yeah, I'm the one at Capitalize. So LinkedIn, I've got my details there. I've got my email there. I've even got my mobile number there. So I'm always up for a chat. I'll speak to anyone and everyone. That's been the highlight of, you know, the opportunities that I've presented myself have been on the back of, you know, someone asking for a chat. On the back of that, it's led from one thing to the next. You know, Receipt Bank was a chat. Capitalize was, you know, can we have a chat and a coffee? So I'm always happy to have conversations and chat. And Capitalize is just capitalize.com. Anything on there, and, you know, we've got a whole team behind us to support anyone who's interested in providing, you know, capital advisory to their clients. Then we're definitely interested in speaking to them, as long as they're an accounting firm.
Yeah, there we go. Cool, man. I mean, it's been brilliant. And thanks so much for...
Thank you very much, Richard. Really enjoyed it.
Nice one. Okay, mate. Speak soon, and thanks so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Cheers.